Don't forget to suck some titties.
Yeah, that was trash. maybe trash is a bit of a harsh word. But here's some notes I took from Super Bowl 59. Super Bowl felt like nothing. It felt lifeless. There was a cringe post-game interview with Aaron Andrews and Jalen Hurts where she was trying to force this confetti. I don't know if you guys saw it. Where's confetti? Reminds you of your screensaver, right? And he's like, oh yeah, my screensaver. And it was as awkward as Tom Brady in the fourth quarter. That shit was, the dude, like, they just, after play by play, the dude was just determined to just keep continuing on this, like, nostalgia of him losing his Super Bowls and the mentality and all that stuff. I'm like, God damn, you know, it's just another 5-yard flat to Worthy. And the halftime show was alright. Get it? Everything's gonna be alright, except the audio. That was not alright. That was trash. The halftime show was actually, you know, it was pretty good. Even if you were hypnotized by you being ritualized. You can't watch nothing these days without there being some type of symbolism. But hey, you know, you either choose to live in it or just accept it. And accept that someone out there is falling into symbolism, I guess. But yeah, overall, oh yeah. Welcome to episode 326, as you already see in the title. So yeah, this is my special Super Bowl reaction. I don't think I've done a Super Bowl reaction on this podcast, because I haven't actually been able to watch a Super Bowl. I made time, you know, I did it for you guys, the content. I wouldn't say it was a waste of time. I did enjoy the game. I actually was in tune. I actually, like, watched the game. But it honestly didn't feel like anyone there. It didn't really feel like those Super Bowls where everyone was, like, charged up, you know. They were so focused on, you know, some people in the crowd. Like, the weirdest combo of Pete Davidson being next to Kevin Costner. The most wild, I don't know, maybe, I can't remember if that was exact. It was Pete Davidson next to some random ass person that you would never think he'd be next to. You know, Taylor Swift, obviously she got booed for some reason. And someone pointed out, you know, it's pretty odd world we live in. Where in an arena, Taylor Swift is being booed and Trump is being praised and applauded. That's a weird world we're living in. And then we had a white corner get a pick six. It's a wild world we're living in, you know? someone did a funny meme of Cooper DeGene, and it was Cooper DeGene during Black History Month, and he's like doing this waving stuff. He's like brushing his hair, make sure it's got waves in a certain way. I thought that was kind of funny. But, you know, overall, this Super Bowl really didn't feel like it had like a real meaning, even though the game itself, like the players, like the story behind like a possible three-peat or the Eagles second time in 3 years back in the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts redeeming, you know, kind of having an up and down season, coming back to adversity that people are never really giving the respect he deserves. And he said, fuck that. Even though, you know what? I spent my last that I had on my account, you know, just a side story. This is why sports betting is one of the dumbest fucking things. I'm starting to come around to it. I haven't put any new money in here, but I did a 4-piece parlay. Everything hit. Mahomes got over his half passing yard. Kareem Hunt got under his rushing yards. And Johan Dotson got his over. You know, everything was good. Devontae Smith. He had 69 yards. You know how many I had the over on? 69 and a half. I literally lost out on 60 bucks. Potential winnings. Because of one fucking yard. One. This is like the third or fourth time I've lost a four-piece parlay or three-piece because of 1 point, one rebound, 1 yard, one touchdown. All, you know, that's the type of shit, man, you know. But it's cool, you know. Nothing to be mad at here. We're going to win it all back. But, you know, overall, I think my overall assessment of not just this Super Bowl and kind of a general assessment of kind of how we view big events on TV today. I know it's going to probably be like the most watched Super Bowl ever type of shit. Because every Super Bowl is going to be like that now. Everyone's paying attention. Even with all of us illegally streaming it. It literally felt lifeless. Like through the TV, they're doing a really bad job. Maybe for there, it feels a whole lot different. But I didn't really feel the energy from the crowd. If that makes sense. Like, it felt, the broadcast did a very iffy job of, like, really being in tuned what was going on. It felt very sputtering from the sideline reporting. I thought Kevin Burkhart did a pretty good job. I've been hearing criticism about Brady all year, and since I haven't really watched the games that much, I haven't really caught to me. But, you know, I always felt, his first year, people are always going to, you know, nitpick and all this stuff. That's how I always feel about color commentary. It's a lot of nitpicking. Someone not doing this. But on the biggest stage like that, it really does expose, like, oh. And you really notice it when the game was basically over in the fourth quarter. And he's having the talk to really, the game's not speaking for itself anymore. Like, he's actually having to speak quite a bit. Because they're running the ball, trying to kill time. And I remember there was this drive. It was probably like with in between the 9 going down the 6 or 5 minute mark or something like that. In that range, this is when it really stuck out. I'm really watching it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is awkward as fuck. I'm like cringing on the inside because it's almost like his timing. Like, it's a play. The color commentator is like, 4 yard out, you know, 4 yard gain by this person. And he's just like, yep, I'm going back into my story. And it's like 5 or 6 straight plays. He's still talking about the same, you know, the 3 Super Bowls loss. You think about that more than the 71. And like, it's not that it's bad information. It's not that it's not coming from a great source, but it's like, all right, man, we got it. You know, can you go back to kind of talking about what's going on here? It's like, I know Patrick Mahomes is a competitor, and then it's another incomplete pass, and he's like, but you know, as a competitor, and you're like, oh God, bro. Like, it almost feels like it's almost like he's not really in tuned all the time. Like, I know he's watching the game, and he understands at a level that no one else could really understand. Like, what people are going through on that field, the emotions. But outside of that, I would say if you want to nitpick, it's he doesn't have the ability to know, like, hey, I'm kind of, like, going on too much about this. I'm kind of just beating this dead horse about, like, persistence and what it takes to be. It's like that doesn't elevate the game to anything right now. And I'm gonna be like, I don't know what they're gonna do. Fox is gonna do in the offseason, not to get too inside media type of thing. He's saying he's gonna be back and stuff. I mean, he signed a 10-year deal worth $375 million, but he also is now a part owner of a fucking actual NFL team, which is kind of insane. I don't even know how this is legally possible. And their second main dude, who was supposed to be the number one before Tom came in, Greg Olsen, he said, look, once my contract is up, I'm probably not going to be here. He wants to be the guy. And after listening to some, like, you know what? I was thinking during this, and it's kind of shitty. If Greg Olsen was calling this game, would this have been a better experience for the viewer? Like, do you at least feel like he's, like, Tom is emotional, but it feels very held back. It feels very like, I'm too worried about my perception. He's not really willing to go there, if that makes sense. Like, you don't feel like he's willing to go there as a commentator compared to someone like Greg Olsen, who will be fair, but like if they are just like they like you just got it, like you just got to block. You know, you cannot let them hit the A gap like that. You know, like that's just inexcusable. Like, he's not willing to like go there. It's a lot of you know, the refs. I don't know about that one. And by the way, that first call, that pass interference to begin the game was a oh my god. I was like, oh, we're in for some BS tonight. But yeah, and just that fourth quarter stretch, it really hits you. Like, when the game's going and it's back and forth and a pick six and things are exciting or whatever, but when the game is like basically over and it's like we're hitting at the phase of the game where reality's starting to set in and they're having to talk to fill in time, you're like, oh, he really doesn't have too much interesting and relatable that people, I think, really crave from a color commentator. So going to the halftime show, I thought, I understand the formula, like, it was obviously going to be different. Look, I'll be the first to tell you, I listen to some Kendrick. I wouldn't say I'm here, like, listening to album top to bottom, even though recently, past few months, I have been catching on a few songs. Like, I really do like him. He's obviously really good. He's obviously one of the best at what he does, at least in current generation. That's undeniable. I do feel like it doesn't really feel like his music is meant for like the halftime theatrics, I think. I think like typically people crave the Beyonce theatrical or like Bruno Mars or Lady Gaga or like, it's weird to say Alicia Keys, but like, I don't think that's a great example. But, and I think it was good. Like, the music's good. Like, the message and all that stuff. But it did feel very, like, one-dimensional in a way. It felt very, like, it kind of became predictable in a way. But it was so good. My issue was I could not hear a goddamn thing to do the same for the first half. Like, I was really having to, like, lean in. I thought something was wrong with my volume. Like, I'm sitting here, like, adjusting my speaker, adjusting this, and, like, it's like, oh no, like, he can't hear, like, they have his mic audio so low, and he already kind of has, like, a pretty softer voice for his, like, even in his studio songs, fully recorded, it could be kind of hard to hear if you're not really paying attention. And it really felt like that during the show at time, and being, like, that big of a stage, and having them to set the setups and stuff. Like, I get it. Maybe it was planned. Maybe the point, he didn't want the vocals to be so prevalent that the choreography or the messaging or kind of the themes and thematics that's trying to get more across is supposed to be the main part of the show. It felt like when they started getting the more the up-tempo, when, like, SZA started in there, like, the audio did get a little bit louder, but he was still kind of hard to hear. And I just don't, to me, for all the hype going in about it from a production and however they set that stuff up, like, to me, that's just inexcusable to have where you cannot hear the person that is singing, rapping, performing. Like, that's inexcusable to me. That's not his fault. That's the Super Bowl production's fault for that failing. And I thought I was crazy, and then I went online a little bit. Like, because sometimes, like, you're like, you know, am I living in the same world? Am I living in this fake internet, as the kids say? Is this, like, really the same matrix we're living in. I go online and I see a few, like, you know, it looked great, couldn't hear shit. You know, I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. I will say his breath control is insane, though. He's, even though I couldn't hear what he was saying, he was definitely not struggling breathing or nothing. Because if it was me, after like half a verse, I'd be like, be humble. Sit down. Okay, I'm going to sit down. But, you know, yeah. Overall, the Super Bowl ads were really not, like, I don't even think the point of the Super Bowl ads are supposed to be what the point of the Super Bowl ads used to be. I'm pretty sure the price of a Super Bowl ad, well, it probably is with inflation. Like, you know, if it's going to be, you know, $15 for a burrito, you know, it better be $8 million for a fucking 30-second slot. I remember back in the day, it would be like a couple mil or some 5 mil for a super, to put a Super Bowl ad, and they, companies would compete. But they would have to come with the greatest commercials, the greatest ideas. Now, bro, they're just fucking throwing some shit in there. Like, at, near the end of the game in the fourth quarter, bro, there was this one. It was a sketchy, you know, it's one of those bullshit software, not even software, but one of these bullshit apps that people make where he does this, like, walk into a warehouse. He's got like 120 bags in this pile. And he said, 120 people are going to win $10,000 tonight. But you got to sign in, create an account in this app, enter the sweepstakes, and boom. And then money is just parading all over the place like confetti. Like Jalen Hurts, a screensaver, apparently. And this guy, he was like, hey. And I'm like, I cannot believe people actually fall for that. Because you know what? They took out this ad. And if they just get a few people to buy in this scam bullshit. And the thing, the app is literally, you get rewards for spending more money. That is the dumbest thing that us humans, Americans, citizens have fall for. Hey, the more miles you fly, we'll give you some free croissants and a lounge. Hey, you get 2% back on this credit card. Yeah, once you spend $4,000, sure, here's $40. Have at it. It's a fucking, like, it's so apparent in our faces. You know? But, yeah, overall, the Super Bowl, pretty lifeless. The game itself, yeah, let's talk about the game. I was not too surprised about anything I saw. I'm surprised I didn't make a prediction per se. I mean, I'm surprised by how dominant the Eagles were, of course. I really thought when Jalen Hurts threw that pick six, I think somewhere in late first or early second quarter, I'm like, oh, Chiefs are going to start coming back. And the Chiefs just could not do shit. The dumb plays, the dumb interceptions, like, that is the first time I think, honestly, I could say I've seen Patrick Mahomes actually play bad. Yes, he had no time and protection, but it was the first time that he just did not have an answer to anything. Yeah, they got a couple BS touchdowns, Xavier Worthy, throwing deep, you know, all that good shit, but, like, they couldn't run the ball. Receivers couldn't get open. They couldn't block. He couldn't. He made a few, you know, scattering around plays to get a few yards in there that equated to nothing of value anyways. It was just like, you're watching the game, and you're just like, you know, you go get a couple wings, and it's already three and out, you know? I really do think the game itself, like the actual in between the lines, was fine. It was entertaining, even though one team was dominating, like, really intensely. And I knew at the beginning of the game, when, you know, they, like, the commentators like to talk about the meetings they have with players. They're like, you know, we say, I think Tom said something like, oh, you know, what are you going to do? you know, what about Saquon, 150 yards or some shit? And he joked like, he's not getting 150. And you're right, Saquon didn't come close to 150. But the rest of the team did. I don't even know what Saquon, but he definitely wasn't killing it out there. He had that cool catch, you know, that little bobble on the side, the sideline type of thing. But overall, the game was pretty entertaining within the lines. Like, one thing I will say, compared to some Super Bowls, it didn't feel like they dragged out too much commercial time. They didn't, like, you know, every couple downs, we didn't have like a million flags. We had a couple really bad ones. Like, it felt like the game moved pretty efficiently. Like, quarters went by for Super Bowl standards pretty normal. It wasn't like an hour and 15 long of real time first quarters because of three and out timeout, this timeout. Like, there were long drives of especially the Eagles. And I think we need to start grading QBs on a different scale. And, what people are going to say, I know this is so random as fuck. There was someone like, oh, Anthony Richardson, he become a Jalen Hurts. It's like, no, there was no, the difference is issues with Anthony Richardson reportedly. The dude's like not showing up early on time. Like, there's a culture issue with the Colts. I know this is too inside football. But the issue is all we do is like, oh, an athletic quarterback who's black. Oh, he could be like this guy. It's like, that's a disrespect to Jalen Hurts, who, for one, came in the second round. He overtook a player that was highly drafted, who they already paid money to, and Carson Wentz, who would have fucking guessed is the backup for the Chiefs. So it's like a weird conundrum. Like, Carson Wentz has to watch the person that took over his job. And apparently Carson wasn't the greatest team culture locker room guy. And the reason why Jalen overtook the locker, even if at that time, like, he had a really bad, like, his first playoff game versus the Buccaneers was bad. Like, it was like, I love Tebow, but it was a Tebow bad. Some, you know, it was so bad that if they didn't trust the player, his ability to improve, his ability to really be a winning player, he wasn't the most dominant as specifically in the passing game in certain aspects. He could run the ball, he could make good decisions, but, you know, just some, like, he's got some work to do. But they trusted the work ethic. They trusted the ability to improve, to be, no one questioned his work ethic. No one questioned his leadership. He's been the same guy, like, I saw this meme earlier. He's the same guy, like, it's the same face. Win, lose, unhappy, this, that, and the other. And then in the bottom right corner, it's a happy face. And then under it, it's at the 1 yard line because of the touch push. And but he is the embodiment of, no matter how things are going, we're going to be all right. Like, I'm going to be the same guy. And that's because he has a track record. People know what he's about. There's no question about the culture he provides. So when the Eagles made that move at the time, Carson Wentz was probably he could probably run an offense better, make reads better. He probably threw for more yards, more touchdowns. Like, if he would have started the next year for that team and played all 16 games like Jalen Hurts, he probably would have better stats. But when you're building a team, when you're thinking about in the long term, you're really thinking about, what does this really lead to? So we're losing a short-term gain for a long-term value. So, yeah, they lost the Super Bowl, and he was actually good in that Super Bowl, but, you know, people always felt like he was the weak link holding back the team, or he was the weaker part holding back the team. And then last year, he kind of was pretty damn good all year. This year, It was a lot of games where it's like, he was hurt. You know, he's not really dominating. There's a lot of inconsistency. They're having issues. You know, our receivers are mad about this, coach this. There's a lot of questions about, you know, can Jalen Hurts really be the guy type of shit? And he really proved that if you're just know who you are, confident in your ability, you'll be all right. And I think that's inspiring to people. And people even after the Super Bowl. You remember when Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl? Oh, he's a top five quarterback. No one in their right mind really thinks or ever thought Joe Flacco was a top five quarterback. You know the dude never threw for 25 touchdowns in the season? But as a backup, like the way he plays, you would have thought that dude threw for like 45 touchdowns in his season. It's crazy. But that doesn't mean he wasn't good. But no one ever confused Joe Flacco for carrying the team type of thing. And ironically, he's the backup to Anthony Richardson. You see how it's all full circle? I think what Jalen Hurts proves is it really is at that position more about the intangibles than anything. Like, it's really about trusting the individual more than the skill set a lot of times. Now, there's a minimal amount of skill set. I'm not here to identify someone's skill set. It's pretty obvious, though. Like, you watch some quarterbacks play, they're much more, they can make different type of throws. They're a lot more athletic. They're a lot more fluid. Jalen seems a little bit static in how he throws the ball. I'm not an expert on that, but I'm pretty sure someone who would break down film be like, yeah, he's a lot more predetermined. He's a lot more static in his fundamentals. And in some ways, that can keep you out of a lot of things, you know. It's not like the most compact. It's not the quickest release. But it's just an understanding of, like, your team, right? You fit into the team. And that's why Aaron Rodgers is getting cut. That did remind me. Maybe it's just me. Kenny Pickett. It was so weird seeing him in there to take the kneel downs. That dude did not look like he wanted to be out there. That dude looked pretty unhappy. Like it's an insult. Like, hey, bro, you got traded after 2 years after being first round pick. All right. Be happy. Like, you know. The dude looked like irritated as fuck. I know that's just a crazy observer. I was literally like watching any game. I'm like, oh, he's out there taking it. And Saquon was jumping. The offensive line was putting their fist bump. And he's just walking off like, here's the ball. I guess that's all I'm here for. Taking the knee downs. It's like, yeah, that's all you're here for. Shut the fuck up. but, yeah. Overall, you know, I think overall, I don't know if this means that, like, we just have to change our relationship with the Super Bowl overall. Oh, and also, I gotta say this, too. Not just the, so the post game, not to do a full Super Bowl random-ass breakdown, but the Aaron Andrews confetti with Jalen Hurts, like, it felt rehearsed, if that makes sense, like, it didn't even feel like it was happening in real time. Like, no one even seemed like they were that happy, like, winning the Super Bowl. Like, they were happy and smiling, but, like, I remember just, like, even, like, when the Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl with the Broncos, even seeing something like that, like, he was so excited, even though he was trash at that point. But, seeing the confetti, like, how happy, like, it felt like the elation of winning a Super Bowl was a whole lot more. Like, the Nick Sirianni, he obviously felt, you know, the emotion. You know, the bringing his wife and kids was cool. You know, it was nice. It definitely kind of felt like this is kind of awkward TV here. You know, it's kind of seeing forced. Like, hey, you know, we're doing something for the camera. But whatever, you know, TV is TV. Then the Aaron Andrews one where it's like, confetti. She just literally says, confetti. Remember that being in your phone screensaver? And he's like, what? It's like, oh yeah, confetti. I was like, oh God, like I got a cringe in my, like I got a cringe chill in my spine when I was watching that. I'm like, oh my God, this is, oh fuck. Oh fuck. I know it's negative, but at the same time, it's goddamn, that shit is, whoo. And then on the podium, right, when they're doing the team, they have, I don't know why they do this, out of all the people to introduce the Lombardi, like Roger Goodell's up there first, congratulating the owner, which is odd that they congratulate the owner first on the stage. I don't know. We can say what that's about, whatever. And then they bring Terry Bradshaw, one of the Fox, one of the Fox commentators, the post-game, pre-game people. He goes out there, and he's, he goes up there. Cause I don't know if they introduced Jalen Hurts, one MVP. He basically talked to Jalen Hurts up there. And typically when they're up there, they ask a question, and they just let the person talk, get all their shits out, thank God. They'll let them talk for 3-4 minutes or a minute, just like, it's just this team stuck together all year. The man, Jalen Hurts, would say something, Terry Bradshaw, like there'd be half a second of just him in between words. He was just, Terry Bradshaw, nervous, and it would just start fucking talking, like, hey man, let the guy fucking talk. And then he would, and Jalen, Jalen was playing along with it, but you kind of see him, he's like, are we interviewing me or are you interviewing yourself? I'm pretty sure if someone did a breakdown, like that whole interaction from start to finish, I think it was like a 65-35 split. Jalen was still said the most words, but Terry said a lot more than typically an interviewer would say in that situation when he's not asking him questions. He's like filling in the blanks of, oh, you feel great, don't you? He's like, yeah, it feels good. It felt odd. Like, it felt like so unreal. I cannot believe I'm watching this. And that's why I'm like, oh my God. That like concluded the night for me. What the fuck did I just watch? But hey, good times. Yeah. Good times. But, they say, bad thoughts make them drop it like it's hot. There was something I wrote down. God damn it, I forgot where I put it. Whatever. Here I am. I'm literally going through YouTube to prove my point. Yeah, Jalen Hurts won LFG player of the game. Yeah. Oh, also. Right. I'm sorry. I just saw Skip Bayless's old ass face and it really got me. This man, I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought it was like a satire. Someone made a satire account. Let me pull it up. But I think it was on X or Twitter, whatever the fuck you want to call it. This man, the audacity of this man, coming from, his unaddressed situations is pretty wild. Hold on, sorry, pulling it up. God, this man posted a shitload during the fucking game. Here it goes. This was, I guess, before the game. This man said, I am not watching the halftime show. out of respect for my brother, Lil Wayne. By the way, this is in all caps. Who obviously should be playing in his hometown of New Orleans. This is just so wrong. Okay. I understand. Obviously, Lil Wayne's obviously a great candidate when it comes to this stuff. No one would ever not say that. But we can't just say just because someone's from a hometown, like that's their city, that's where they're from, that's what people know them from, that they're entitled to get a spot like a halftime show for Super Bowl, or they should get a venue before someone else just because that's where they're from. Because this is a global concert. And Lil Wayne is still a global star. So it's not saying like we would have had Lil Wayne in there, the show wouldn't have been as good or the name wouldn't have been as relevant. That's not the point here. But the pressure, to me, that's like a very like, oh, we gotta, for the optics, that's a very, we gotta have someone here because they're from here. That makes no fucking sense. Like, Kendrick, this past year, with the Drake situation, all that, basically became the number one most famous, successful artist on, at least in America. I know there's probably artists that technically have more streams and shit, but like in terms of impact and influence and stuff like that, Kendrick was the number one. I don't care what anyone says. I do not care how many streams Bad Bunny had. I do not give a fuck of what Sabrina Carpenter, how well her album is tasting. I do not care. It's nonsense. No pun intended. And sometimes these halftime picks are legacy acts. Because I remember there's years back, I think it was Aerosmith or some shit. Way back. It was like Aerosmith or AC/DC. Now they were old as fuck. They weren't as good as they probably used to be, but it was still entertaining at the very least. But just because someone is from somewhere, and then you think you of all people are going to make people like change their mind. I'm sorry, even Lil Wayne fans are going to be like, yeah, I'm still going to watch it. You know, I mean, what does that have to do with me? You think my one less eyeball watching the halftime report is changing their metrics? You think that's going to change anything? Absolutely not. You are not that damn important. And this is what happens when you get people in these secular, these Hollywood type of funnels where they think because they got fame, they got money, they got $1.5 million to offer their hairdresser, that they, they think if they say something that even if a lot of people view and listen and watch it, they're going to be like, hey, you know what? He's not doing it. I'm not going to do it. Even fans of yours are going to be like, all right, man. You know, yeah, I'm so, you know, if this world were mine, but it's not yours. So to me, I think it really goes to show, especially someone like, let's be honest, Skip Bayless is one of those. He tries to be cool. He definitely acts different when he's around people of color. He definitely acts different when he tries to match energies instead of always being himself. And you got to stop confusing just because people are giving their honest opinions about sports and takes in front of your face. That doesn't mean they're not articulating or saying in a different way because they feel like that's how a group of individuals or a culture or whoever the audience is they're speaking to will receive it. You know, and like anytime, like he tries to be, oh, Drip Bayless. Like, look at Skip Bayless 10 years ago. He was not trying to be that cool. The dude meets Lil Wayne, and the dude's trying to act like, you know, he's like the next, I don't even fucking know, you know, Asher Roth. He's like the worst example of that. But it's cringe. And without the FS1 platform, I think like when you're behind that big, like, a lot of things are cute when it's, like, in cheek and you have that popularity and fan. Like, he's popular. But because he doesn't have that, like, attachment to a big corporation to protect and maintain connections. And when you are just an isolated, independent being now, and you can say what you want, it really, like, oh, now you're just kind of stupid. You know, it's very, like, this isn't even entertaining. You're just kind of being irrational. Like, what? Because, you know, you want to pretend to be cool and hip and be a part of hip-hop culture and all that stuff. And then someone who is achieving at the top of the game, someone who has, you know, a lot of people would say is very culturally relevant. He speaks for, you know, quote unquote, the culture, unlike Drake, you know. And for you to kind of, I don't know if ironically, unironically, but you get what I'm saying here, try to shit on the best in it. Like, it's kind of like you're speaking in ways that you, like, you're speaking against something that you say you're for nonchalantly without realizing it. It's this weird thing. Like, no one is out. You're literally the only one out here that's like, oh, Kendrick's doing the halftime. I'm not watching. No one has ever fucking said that. No one's going to say that. People that are going to watch the halftime, they're going to watch it. Even people that don't know Kendrick, they're going to watch it. There's certain artists, if they were playing, like, yeah, I'm not, oh, I don't like what they stand for. With Kendrick, most people stand by a lot of things that he's for. He's very vocal about things, you know? So, I don't know, that's kind of odd to me. There's something that's like, oh, like, you really think, like, your opinion on that specifically is so goddamn important, and you think your opinion matters because you're friends with Lil Wayne? I think you're friends with Lil Wayne, but I don't think Lil Wayne's his friend with you, if that makes sense. Like, even Lil Wayne, I know it probably hurt. But just because, let's say, 2 Super Bowls from now, if it's in whatever city, if it's in that one, it's not as important. Because it's not, like, I get the hometown homage and stuff, but I don't know, you know, that whole thing is just kind of, it's weird to me. I think there was a comment I saw under, and I'm like, I know I'm not crazy. Here's all the comments, you know, I'm not someone to read the comments. Literally the first comment under at this point, bro, just turn the TV off and shut the fuck up. We don't need an announcement. It's come from Hip Hop Media magazine, too. Then the next one is Larry David off Curb in a meme. And he says, nobody gives a fuck. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, what the fuck are you saying? And the dude put all caps. Damn, then someone said, he's a terrible live performer. Like, I don't know about that. I've never seen him live. And sorry. But yeah. And then there are some comments. Like, someone said, that was terrible. Wayne would have been better. But the thing is, Kendrick's halftime performance wasn't bad because of Kendrick. You know? For the, like, you know, do I feel like it could have been more exciting? You know, they did it, like, there was choreography and stuff, and I wasn't expecting him to start, you know. That's not his thing, you know, but I will say he was very engaged. Even though he wasn't dancing, he wasn't just, like, sitting in a spot doing some BS moves, you know, and just, like, vibing. Like, he actually was, like, moving along with the production. There was, like, small skits they did, you know, took a few shots at Drake. Hey, you know what? It is what it is. You know, I can only defend the boy. And, you know, knowing these potential, like you're saying, the boy has a different meaning with Drake. I'm sorry. I love you, Drake, but, you know, the whole world's against you. But hey, if you want to come on the pod, be my guest. You know, I'll defend you. And then someone put, shut your freaky ass up. But anyways, yeah. I thought that was interesting, you know. You know, I'll leave it with a little nugget, you know. I watch this food review channel called King Strats. Something he does. He does a food review. We'll get some food. He'll buy food. And it's weird. I have become exactly what I hate, if that makes sense. I have become someone that likes watching people eat food, but I don't like watching mukbangs. I hate that shit, right? But for some reason, there are these people that have mastered a craft of being able to get regular-ass food from fast food places or chain restaurants. You already knowing how the shit probably tastes. And it's almost like we want to kind of align like how alike or different we are with the masses. Like our taste buds crazy. Because sometimes I'll be watching these vids and I'll be like, that shit looks and tastes, and I've had it, tastes pretty good. And someone has like, this shit is dry. And I'll be like, damn, is my taste buds fuck up or I just accept anything that's dry? You know, you start questioning things about yourself. But for some, I'll watch like a 20-minute video where it's like someone just going through different types of food from Checkers. I don't even eat Checkers. And I'll watch, and then he'll do like that for like 78%, and then he'll do like something he wants to talk about. And it's cool, because you know what I like about it? It's like he gets you with what you came there for, the food, right? And then over time, if you watch more and more, you like him, you like little things he says, and he'll have like just a thing that has nothing to do with the food, just general observations of his and stuff that he sees when he goes out places, like kindness and being mean and, you know, and stuff like that. And it's kind of like a slow way to get people to introduce them to you while having food as a buffer. It's almost like food is the buffering. Is the gap that is actually being able to get you connected to, you know, really to be, I just farted, to be naturally build that connection with someone. It's weird how Checkers brisket burgers can get you naturally connected to someone. So that's why I'm using the Super Bowl reaction for you. I typically don't do these Super Bowl reactions, but it was odd. Is I actually like, I know it's going to be in the YouTube algorithm for the next day or two. And I will be watching 2 days from now. I will be watching reactions on First Take on YouTube, even though I don't like First Take. But it's going to pop up and I'm going to click on a video of Stephen A. talking about how the Chiefs need to blow it all up and Jalen Hurts is a top three quarterback. We need to put respect on this man's name. And we really need to be having a conversation. Should they have ever benched him for Tua? It's like, if you watched that at the time, yes, they should have. Okay. But it's funny how things change. You know? But overall, you know, I think I'm gonna end this episode here. Because I just really came on top about the Super Bowl. So I'm going to keep this one nice and sweet. Nice, short, and sweet, and then keep the rest for another time. So, until next time, that was episode 326 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, most important ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, have a great day, morning, night, evening. And yeah, that was a weird-ass Super Bowl. first-person shooter mode.